Escacao is a plant, and where it actually comes from, people believe that plants have spirit, that have like an own consciousness, you can say.
It's such a beautiful, gentle plant medicine. So it's not like ayahuasca, where it's like, okay, you get pushed through something. With cacao, you really have a choice. That's what I love, that you really can guide yourself through something. Like, do I want to go there or not? You have a choice. And it opens the heart.
So, hi, and welcome to another episode here of Remember Who You Are. I'm so happy that you're here. Today's episode feels very special to me. First of all, let me paint you a little picture where we are. So right now, I'm sitting at my yoga dome, which you've probably seen maybe on some photos, or maybe you even joined one of my retreats here. In this beautiful temple space, it's raining outside. It's been raining for days. We're looking on a very brown, muddy lake. It's foggy today. It's a little bit mysterious. It's a bit chilly, but we have a little heater here, so we're not freezing. We have a yummy yogi tea with some oat milk and honey, and I'm not alone, as you probably might notice already by this little humming here in the background, and I'm here with Lottie. Let me tell you a little bit about Lottie first. So maybe you've already met her when you've joined some of my retreats. She's been already part of some of my retreats twice. And let me tell you a little bit about this woman. I still remember the very first moment we met. I was immediately struck by your presence, I could say, because there's something incredibly grounded and clear about her, strong, almost warrioress-like, but at the same time, so warm, soft, and a deeply nurturing, motherly archetype energy that's radiating from her. And I find this combination, this mixture, very rare in people, and that really struck me. And Lottie, she holds spaces in ways that feel safe, wise, and very grounded. And this combination of strength and softness, I think it's incredible. I love her yin yoga classes. I love her ritual work with cacao. And I deeply appreciate the simplicity and truth she brings into every room she enters. And I'm so happy she's here today. So our conversation will circle exactly around these themes, the power of yin yoga, the dance between yin and yang in our world, why we desperately need more yin energy in our lives, and the ritual practice of cacao as a doorway into our heart. So this will be a warm, cozy, and heart-opening conversation. So maybe you grab your own cacao or yogi tea right now or whatever you have, and let's dive in. Ich habe wunderschöne Neuigkeiten für dich. Mein neues Buch Soulful Mama ist endlich da. Soulful Mama ist ein seelengeführter Begleiter durch Schwangerschaft, Geburt und die Zeit danach. Voller Yoga, Meditation, Achtsamkeit, Ritualen und ehrliche Einblicke aus meiner eigenen Mutterschaft. Es lädt dich ein, diese besondere Lebensphase achtsam, liebevoll und spirituell zu erleben, im Einklang mit deiner Seele und der Seele deines Babys. Auch wenn du selbst Frauen in dieser Zeit begleitest, als Prä- und Postnatal-Yoga-Lehrerin oder Coachin, wird dieses Buch dich inspirieren, mit noch mehr Tiefe und Bewusstsein zu unterrichten. Schenk es dir selbst oder einer lieben Frau, die gerade Mutter wird. Soulful Mama ist jetzt überall im Buchhandel und auch online erhältlich. Ich freue mich von Herzen, dich mit diesem Buch begleiten zu dürfen. Hi Lottie, I'm so happy that you're here.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful introduction. Thank you so much. I'm like, ooh, yeah, is that all me?
Yeah, that's you. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So how do you feel right now, Lottie? We already actually had a little personal conversation. We missed press play, unfortunately, just before this podcast. But how do you feel right now in this moment?
I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be here. And it's nice also to be here in Portugal. And it's a bit Dutch. I'm Dutch from origin. Dutch German weather.
Yes.
But I love it. It's good. It's good to
makes
to
us
be
feel
in this.
At home.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, feeling good.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you so much for coming here. We wanted to have this conversation for a long time, and I'm happy we finally do it. Yeah. And so before we dive into the topic of yin and cacao, let's start with your own journey and how did you become so amazing? can you share a bit about who you are and your personal path? What brought you here to Portugal? What brought you to the practice of yin yoga, of cacao? Like a little bit about your own inner journey.
Thank you. Well, wow, where to start? Because it's always when I think about that and I try to answer it, I always, yeah, but before that, there was that. Before that, there was that. So it's also woven together.
Yeah,
so
sure.
It started by being born and then you have your life and your youth. And I wanted to be an actress, but I couldn't from my mother. Although she also wanted to be an actress and her mother also said, no, you cannot be an actress. And then I did like the official facility management economical study and I'm a bachelor in that. And that was my life till 22. And then I thought, yeah, but now I'm going to really do what I like. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to do audition for the Amsterdam Theater School. And I have to be, I want them to have me immediately or else it's like a dream and then I have to let go of it. And I got accepted.
Wow. So how old were you?
I was 23. So I was already a bit older. So like the rest was like 18, 19. But it was good for me because I'm a bit of a late bloomer. So it was good that I already had some practices in drinking a lot and boyfriends and blah. So it was good to already been touching that already. So I could be quite dedicated, not per se serious, but dedicated to the theater. And that was already, the theater school was 4 years and it was, yeah, you also know it. It's so amazing because it's such self-exploration. And I thought, oh, everyone should go to this school because this is what we all need to explore ourselves and explore our emotions. And what you do as an actor is that your emotions are your paint. So that's like your guitar. So that's so amazing to get to know that. So actually, yeah, where did my journey start? Maybe consciously there. And then I was working in theater for, I still do. I was working in theater like, yeah, I always had work. I was always doing things, but I was, missing the touch with myself inward because my whole world and life was really outward and exploding and, blah, and Amsterdam and, blah, you know, but I was missing silence inside of that. So that's when I started meditation and I also went to two amazing foot reflexologists or shamans or Yop and Joan. They still help me to this day. So that was really amazing to start that journey. And then, yeah, after a while, I was like, oh, but I do want to do something more with it. And actually, I started with aerial yoga. So really the playful cloths
yoga. Yeah,
I did yoga.
That too. Ah, cool. We can do it together, actually, here in the dome one day. Cool. Let's meet for an aerial session. Okay, guys, after this podcast, we're going to hang from the ceiling.
Yes, exactly. So I started really playful. Funny. But in that, I was missing the depth. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, this is really fun. But how do I, of course, there's now also yin aerial and you can make it as deep as you
like. It's actually nice with you feel like a cocoon, like before the butterfly, you know, when you snuck in there. It's actually amazing shavasana in there. Yeah.
It's so lovely.
Yeah.
And then you sometimes I also massaged people when they were lying and they're like, oh, wow. That was so nice. Yeah.
You should teach it here.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, aerial yin. I love.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah. And then I started doing the yin yoga course, and then maybe also like your journey, then you start to become more curious and you want to do another course. And so I already reached like 600 hours of trainings and things. So I went to Hawaii to get more information. I went to Bali, so to it's really typical and cliche, but it was a beautiful journey also. And and then Corona came. So then I was like, okay, what is it really about? And we're so dependent here in Holland. I was living in Holland back then. I was living in a really amazing place, in a transcendental meditation village. So it was a really, really, not like a community, but or like a, but it was a really open, nice and open space to live there. But then I was like, yeah, I want to put my feet on the earth immediately when I come out of my bed or come out of my house. And I did make, in my little garden, I made like a place for my 2 feet to put, but it wasn't enough. So that's, and my boyfriend was sailing at the time. And he said, when he came back, he was like, okay, I'm going to be here in Holland, but when I, but we're not going to anchor here. I'm not going to anchor. We'll be, I want to go to where the oranges grow. And I was like, okay. And then I did a shamanic path course. Sorry, it's a whole story. I went here to a shamanic path. And then in Portugal, and I was like, I want to be here. And I thought it would be difficult. Like, oh, but then I have to arrange a lot of things. And then after a few months, on a plate was like, Lottie, do you want to live here in a yurt where you can immediately put your feet on the earth? Your boyfriend can join and you can teach yoga here. You already have a job. I was like, bah, yes, yes. And that was 4.5 years ago. Now I'm here. Quite amazing.
Thank you for sharing. So I have so many thoughts about what you just said. First of all, I would like to acknowledge the fact that you pointed out the inner journey started actually in your acting career. And I think I never really really phrased it in this way in my mind, because I always thought like, well, acting is about acting and it's about, you know, like something's even superficial, like how you look and, you know, like who gets the role and, you know, who knows the, I don't know, the producer or so and so on. And, but of course it is the start of exploring your inner world from the emotional side. Yeah. And of course, it's also inner work, you know, like where does inner work start? It's not branded as like personal development course, but like it is, right? So it's very psychological as well. And
you need to get to know yourself or else you cannot express it.
So I love that. And we're nearly here at the same amount of time. We also arrived 4 years ago. So amazing. So thank you to share a little bit about your story. And before we dive into the topics of yin, let's maybe clarify a bit these terms for our listeners. I'm very sure most of them are familiar with the term of yin yoga and yang yoga styles. But for those listening who might be a little bit more new, and maybe also to remind all of us, how would you describe these qualities of yin and yang in our world, in our lives, the differences, and where does these terms come from?
Yeah. Wow.
I know, that's a deep question. Yeah.
It does come from the Chinese, traditional Chinese medicine. But the yin is more the feminine, the dark, the unknown, the slowing down, the formless. And the yang is the strong, fiery, masculine energy. Not per se man, but masculine energy. We all have it inside ourselves. The creative, white, agenda, time-focused. That's more the yin and the yang. And in yoga styles, that's also where you see yin is really the slowing down. And the yang is really the activating. Although the yin can still activate, but on a different level. Because it can activate the emotions that are there. And that are hidden. So we slow down, we dive, we sink to feel what's hidden, to feel your authentic self, to feel emotions that you don't want to feel the body. Yeah.
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 And
maybe you want to add, because you're also teaching yin.
I'm also teaching yin. And I remember my very first time I did yin yoga. Maybe you also remember yours. It was actually in a yoga class in Bali, in in Yoga Ban.
Ah, nice.
And it's 10 years ago, more or less. And I remember I've been sitting there and like continuously looking at the teacher and I was like, is that supposed to be like this? Like, should I round my back? Should I like stay here? Should it be so painful? Like, it's boring. Like, you know, I was like, because I was coming from those yang styles of vinyasa, of aerial hanging from the ceiling, and you know, it's very activating style. So it was very confronting for me. And I know that for most people starting with yin is actually very challenging. You know, as you just said, so let's maybe speak a little bit about this challenging parts. Why is yin so challenging? Like,
because the silence is challenging. Because we live in a world where silence is scary, and we need to be entertained. When I was in Holland also like a month ago, and I went into the supermarket, and I could see that it's like entertainment. It's all entertainment. It's all these brands and colors and things and music and blah, blah, blah. It's like an entertainment. And then you still need to do your shopping. So it's so bizarre. Because you come there for food. But it's an as if you're doing a wild ride in a theme park or something. It's really, I was really like, and the more I live here, the more I can see that also. So that's why the whole society, or the westernized society, is really focused on entertainment and not having silence, having your attention, having your... I also read it or heard it somewhere that like attention is the new valuta, like the new money.
Value, yeah.
Yeah, like it's not your money, it's your attention. So where do you bring your attention towards? So I also have it. I'm not like this big yogi. I'm still distracted also. Like, I still have a lot of work to do.
We all are.
Yeah. So it's just that I know that this can be a medicine for myself and also for other people. That's why I'm doing it. But that's why, to come back to the silence and yin, is to, it's really to feel the body and to get to know yourself. And what I see when people start, most of the people, they start to stretch. So they start to stretch the body, still wanting to do something, still wanting to, you know, when you do enough, then you make it. So it's so imprinted in ourselves and in our ideas that you always have to be worthy, you always have to do something, you have to be active. Also, if you have a day off, can you really sink into the couch or on the floor with a book and a candle? Is that enough? After like 50 minutes, you're like, I have to do something. I have to be worthy. I have to do something for the kids. If you have kids, I don't have kids, but or do something for the garden. Or it's so difficult to give the silence to yourself, to be with yourself. Yeah. And also that, because then also shadows come up, or demons, or however you want to call them, the uncomfortable will come up.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to avoid. That's why the entertainment is great. That's amazing, because then I also do it and we avoid. Yeah.
So when did you notice in your own journey, this is not just a practice for me, but it's something that is transformational, and it's also something I want to share?
Yeah, I think it was also two things coming together, that I'm an actress, so I want to give something also to the people. I want to give a feeling, or I want to give a change. So then yoga came, and it was the same sort of thing, like, I'm again giving, changing. It came when I started to teach yin, and I felt that I saw that it was doing something. And I felt it, so I just kept on going.
I just smiled over here because I think I said that also before in one of the podcasts, that I feel yoga and acting, there's a lot in common. Teaching yoga, in not the yoga practice itself, but like the teaching, because you give an experience, you hold a space, you open up a space, you open up a journey, what you do in acting, what you do in a yoga class, and you give people an experience, right? And then you touch people in a way, either with, I don't know, a story you tell on stage, or with teaching a particular pose, or like guiding them into something. So yeah, I love that beautiful correlation. And what would you say shifted in you through yin yoga? Like, what did you notice or over the years, how did yin yoga change you also maybe compared to those yang fun styles and, and maybe even, you know, hard styles and, you know, the discipline and what did it do to you? What did you notice? Because you also shared before you've been like out there, Amsterdam, and you know, there was all like a wild ride and lots going on. And so when did you notice like, wow, that's actually medicine for me and that's actually good and doing something to my mind and body? And
It was softness, that I can be soft, that I am soft. I'm a Libra, so I'm really, I'm a gentle soul in a way. I'm also, I was also really a shy girl. Like hiding behind the leg of my parents, like that. So it's really funny that I chose theater, but in the, that's still what I feel in the core. Like I'm shy, and it helped me to be in that world. Also, it's almost like a creative world because it's I'm touching my belly now. Like it's happening here. Life, everything we are, like the dark and the light and all the magical, mystical stuff. So there was something really beautiful there. Also scary, but also really beautiful.
Thank you for sharing this. And it's, like, it's really touching to me because you're a tall and strong woman, you know? You're 188?
188,
Wow, yeah. So you're really, you know, an impressive, you have an impressive presence. And, like, imagining you as a little child, like, being super shy, you know, is wow. Like, I mean, I can see it as I described you in the beginning. I hope that resonate with you, like, the softness you bring, but also you have, like, a strong, you know, presence and, like,
I got this body. I got this speed. Sometimes I'm like, wow, okay. It's just also just.
But that's so beautiful. Like how you can hold both, like in your being. And I really think that's the invitation of the yin practice. How can we be more soft, allow ourselves to be soft, no matter what body we have or how tall or how old we are or, no matter the circumstances.
And that's so just to add, because that's so beautiful about yin, it's accessible for everyone. So, and sometimes people say, yeah, but I'm not flexible. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. It, you don't need to be flexible. It's even better to be not flexible because you will have more success even if you're not flexible when you do yin. So that also do yin in the morning when you're stiff. And it's more challenging. Of course, it's nice when you bring your nose to your knee. You know, that's amazing. But yeah, it's great when the body's cold to do yin, to really feel the fascia opening, to really feel... instead of the muscles, this is a bit practical, but you know that the fascia opens, and in the fascia there we hold old trauma, old energies, old stuff, the hidden parts, old emotions, and that will will come up. So it's, that's why I love yin so much. It's not just yoga; it's really a healing, almost therapeutic yoga type. I mean, every even Ashtanga and Vinyasa can be therapeutic for sure.
But I think it really depends on the intention and the mindfulness you're holding the practice in, for sure, and the facilitator. Maybe you can share a little bit about the principles of yin, also for the ones listening that maybe never done yin. There are still people around, you know, who've never like tried yin, or there are people like, I don't like yin, you know, like it's hard. Like, so what is special about yin? Like also like, how do we practice? Like we hold poses longer and this, like the structure of the class, maybe you can share a little bit, bit about that and why we do that.
So yin is really, it's what you say, it's holding the poses really, really long. So if I have a class, for instance, of an hour and a half, I sometimes only have five or six poses. So that's really not a lot. So, and you stay in the poses officially between 3 or 5 minutes. Sometimes I hold a long yin yoga and then we stay 10 minutes. You can stay pretty long in poses. And the idea is, like I already shared a little bit, is that you open your fascia. And that you open those, and it's fascia is like the spider web that is wrapped around everything in the body. So the bones, the muscles, the organs even are wrapped in that fascia. And we also get old because we lose the liquids that are in the fascia. So when we do yin, we lubricate actually the fascia. So that's why we stay young or fit or flexible at least. So that's why sometimes you think that in Vinyasa, I will get more stretchy, but actually by doing yin, by staying long in the poses, you will stay more flexible for a longer period of time, like weeks, if you keep on practicing, obviously. And it started actually with, I forgot his name now, but he was like this kung fu fighter and he needed yin mm-hmm. to compensate and to open his body even more.
Mm-hmm.
It's called monkey kung fu. I think mm-hmm. you can Google it if you like. There's a great YouTube video of mm-hmm. him doing monkey kung fu.
Okay.
And he started it. So it came to America. But yeah.
You mean Bruce Lee?
No. No, an American guy.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Not Bernie Clark, who mm-hmm. also did the book, but yeah. But yeah, so he really needed it for his practices to become mm-hmm. yeah, more flexible. Yeah, that's why we practice yin, to become more flexible, to be also more flexible in the mind, flexible mm. in emotions, and to get to know ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, what is coming up? Sometimes we know it, sometimes we don't know it. Sometimes anger comes up, or grief, or the mm-hmm. first few classes, maybe you also remember, where I was crying. It's so many, mm. and also many people that start yin, they have a really big emotional release, but also a lot of resistance, like, no, I do want to grab my feet and stretch. Like, I have to really tell people, well, let go of your shoulders.
Mm.
Just melt. No, I don't want to melt. Mm.
Yeah. I think that one of my favorite words that I got to know in English language was surrender in yin yoga classes. Like, when I think about my yin yoga class, it's always surrender. Like, in German, it's Hingabe. Like, yeah. What is it in Dutch? Surrender.
Overgeven.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful because it's also throwing up. It's both.
And throwing up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's
yeah.
so funny.
Yeah, it's the same. Overgeven.
Oh.
Yeah.
Übergeben is yeah, it in yeah. Übergeben.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's good because it's releasing. Like,
Yeah. It's a cleansing in a way.
It's
cleansing. Mm. Yeah, that's beautiful. Mm. Also, something that came to my mind when you were speaking about how yin yoga is accessible for everyone and how individual is the practice. That's why we use all these bolsters and blocks and helping tools, is that more and more men also feel drawn to yin, mm-hmm. which makes me actually really happy. And we just had the talk before pressing record on this machine that you just held a cacao ceremony for men, actually.
Yes.
And we'll speak about cacao in a moment. And I'm also holding a yin retreat this year and like men signing up, which never happened before. You usually have maybe one man, you know, in some training or something. But like, I feel men also feel like, oh, that's a little bit more accessible. Maybe it's very slow. Mm-hmm. Like, you lie over a bolster for 5 minutes. I can do that. Like, so yeah.
And also they need it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. They also need their feminine energy.
Yeah, most definitely.
It the world needs it now to soften.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
So let's also like bring in the cacao. How did the cacao practice weave its way into your work? Was it also organically or was it intentionally?
No,
or?
It was funny. It just, maybe a lot of things in my life, they just come. But I do need to... I think it's for everyone, you know. You do need to know when the door opens for you, and then you have to step through it. You know, you have
I
to.
Get chills
yeah, yeah.
When you say that, like it's.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, I do my life unintentionally. I do live it intentionally, but it's, you know, I'm also open for, oh, what door will open, and then this door opened during Corona time. There was a cacao facilitator training. Really specific. So I was like, yeah, shall I do it? But it was with Jennifer Ann, and she's an amazing musician. And I was like, yes, she's amazing. So I'm going to join. And we had to do like a dieta. So we had to drink cacao every day to really get to know the plant and to drink it in the morning and also to drink it just before bed and to drink a lot or just drink a little bit. And now I'm already for a long time on this journey with cacao, and it comes to me. And I'm selling cacao also at the moment, and I'm teaching a lot of cacao ceremonies, and it's such a beautiful, gentle, what I really love, plant medicine. So it's not like ayahuasca or chuma, where it's like, okay, you get pushed through something. with cacao, you really have a choice. So you're really, that's what I love, that you really can guide yourself through something. Like, do I want to go there or not? You have a choice. And it opens the heart, but sometimes it hurts to open the heart. So that's why it's a beautiful medicine and sometimes a bit of painful medicine, but it will give you the bliss and the joy and the dopamine and the serotonin. Yeah, that we all need. And I drink it almost every day. Sometimes I also stop just to feel like, is there an addiction? Is there like, am I like getting needy for it? Or because I want it to be a stimulant for my journey, but not to that I'm dependent on it. So try to be conscious with it.
I really love how, like, authentically, in my view, embody really the practice of cacao, because these days it's like one of those buzzwords, cacao, you know, like trauma, cacao, somatics. That's like the, you know, the buzzwords of these times. And like everyone is nearly holding a cacao ceremony, but not everyone can do it. Like I think it's not like in a weekend and then bam, I'm a cacao facilitator. And that's why I was, when I was also looking for someone like joining my retreat, it was like, who can really, I feel like embody authentically these practices, you know, and I feel you do that so beautifully. And, you really, I can feel you drink it every day, like you really connect to the plant. So can you tell us a little bit about the origin also of ceremonial cacao? Where does it come from? What was maybe also the intention, like, because before it becoming like a buzzword, you know?
So cacao, the first time maybe we had cacao in our lives is with cacao powder. And then you mix it with cow milk and that's maybe your first hot chocolate. That's how we meet cacao, maybe in the first time in our lives. But it's so much more deeper than that. And also maybe most of that cacao comes from African countries. And the people are not paid well. So, and also the difference between the ceremonial cacao and that cacao that maybe is also in like the bigger companies that use, I don't want to say names actually, but you know what I mean, like the bigger companies that have chocolate bars, they also get the cacao from those African countries where the payment is not good. And also the preparation is different. So when you have the cacao pod, it's like this big fruit, it's yellow or red or white, and it's hanging not like an apple or a pear, but it's in a weird way connected to the bark. And I love it. It's like, really, it's sprouty. And then you grab it, you open it, and there's this white slushy, like lychee stuff in it, really sweet. And there, and it's wrapped around all the beans. So it's a seed, actually, the cacao, it's a seed. And when you have ceremonial cacao, you bring that, the whole, so the white stuff and the cacao in a basket or wherever you're going to ferment it in. So you ferment it and then you roast it and you dry it. When you don't have ceremonial cacao, most of the times they only use the beans, they dry it and they roast it and that's it. So that's why the 100% chocolate bars are really bitter, really strong. That's why the ceremonial cacao is really, it still has this bitterness, but it's more gentle and more sweet because there's a fermentation process before that. This is really the technical part.
No, thank you. It's really interesting. Yeah.
And they don't dry it that high, or they don't roast it that high, sorry, because in the ceremonial cacao, there's a lot of ingredients still in it. So it's also on a superfood level or on a nutrient level, it's really great for the body also. And it comes from the tropical region of the world. So that's like the African countries, like Ghana and Senegal. And then you have South America, Middle America. And then you have Asia, Bali, for instance. That's where the cacao comes from. But most of like the bigger companies, they have it from Africa. Yeah, and I try to use all of them. So I have cacao from Madagascar, from Costa Rica, from Panama, Bali, India, you know, it can be from anywhere. And you can just also make it at home, use like 10, 15 grams, put some hot water. There you are. There you have your cacao. And it's, and when you do ceremonies, it's easy to prepare a ceremonial cacao, but can you hold the space? Can you hold the space for things that come up? That's really a good question, because a lot of people, like you say, do it, but sometimes I'm a bit like, oh, but are the emotions that come up from people, are they being held properly?
Yeah. And you also have different, as you explained, different types of cacao that also do different things. Yeah. Some are more activating, some are more a little bit more calming, more heart opening. Can you speak a bit about that? Because I actually didn't know that when I had my very first cacao ceremony way back in Bali, you know, got some cacao. I didn't even know what it was, you know. So, but you can feel that there's a different frequency in the cacao that has been shared.
Yeah, what I notice now, because I also sell cacao, so the cacao that is from Peru and Ecuador is like the really strong, sometimes lucid even cacaos. It's really like boom, boom, boom. And when the cacao from Costa Rica and Panama, like more the Middle America and Guatemala, they're way more gentle, more physical, more in the body. I don't want to say that this is my experience also, and it's not. And the Balinese is more like tick, 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 tick.
Like the music is.
Yeah, like the gamelan. And what I wanted to say, what I add about the cacao is that with the powder, it's only one part of the cacao bean. So the cacao bean, it has the fat, so that is used, the butter that is used for cosmetics, and then you have the powder. But when you have ceremonial cacao, it's the whole. So it's the whole bean. So they don't get separated. So that's also a big difference. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to add that. Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So you also mentioned like that you love plant medicine, being connected also to the plant. And from my understanding, as cacao is a plant and where it actually comes from, people believe that plants have spirit, that have like an own consciousness, you can say. How would you describe the spirit of cacao? I mean, we already heard there's different, like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, but that's,
branches.
Yeah, but what is the most important thing is that it's a heart opener. So it supports the muscles and it gives magnesium to the muscles. And also the spirit is really loving. So it's really to connect. And also since I've been selling cacao, it's so funny. That's why I'm here. Mm-hmm. So things, you know, I think it's so funny how things happen. And also yesterday, I was at this birthday with a man's circle cacao ceremony and people that come to my place to buy cacao. And so I'm connecting. It's helping me as an individual to connect with people. And it brings me at new places. Mm-hmm. Literally, physically, we're here now.
It's connecting, yeah.
Yeah, but also inside yourself. So it brings you also to places. So that's really the spirit of cacao. And it's fiery, it's buzzy, it's vibrant, it's alive. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful. What are maybe some of the experiences you had or feedback from people? Maybe you think about a specific moment that that was really like touching for you, or maybe you can share some of the experience you made of these ceremonies, holding these spaces for yin yoga and cacao. Like, what is the feedback you often get from people, or what are the experiences being shared?
I see people opening up and sharing big intimate feelings. I see their connection with their bodies happening. I see they're connecting with the group, with the whole. I see people having insights. And you know, just to add, we talk about yoga, we talk about cacao, but I think it's with everything you do consciously. It could also be you can also hold a water ceremony and have this same experience. You can also have a tree ceremony. You know, it's just the intention you put in for yourself, and also a bit of a focus, like, okay, I want to grow, or I want to let go, or anything can help. It's not that cacao is like the new, that's how it now sounds, yeah. Like, oh, the cacao will save the world. It's not, because, yeah, I love it, but we also don't need it. Yeah, it sounds a bit, yeah, opposite, but contradictionary, but yeah. Because it could also be the eucalyptus tree here that we're going to sit around, and as long as we do it with an intention, and with a group, because that's also the connecting with a group. It helps, and it's scary, But that scariness also helps to elevate yourself, because then you feel that you're connected again. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. That's so beautiful. So yin yoga and cacao, they really seem to blend perfectly together as practices that open our heart, that open our body, that really make us feel again. Let us circle back a little bit and speaking about yin yoga and the qualities of yin in our everyday lives. So as we all know, we live in a very patriarchal, productivity, yang-driven world of go, go, go. Why do you feel yin yoga is so deeply needed in this time we're living in?
I think it will save the world. I think we need to invite silence also, so we can really feel ourselves, so we can feel also what we are and why we are here. So to connect to our purpose, to really feel, I need to teach yin, or I need to be a gardener, or I need to be an accountant for a big tech company, or even that, you know. It's not that it should be a spiritual thing that you should do, but it's a spiritual practice to support your daily life. We're so pushed and a lot of energy is taken and we get so distracted. So it's really difficult to find that silence, to connect to that purpose, to connect to that authenticity that is inside of you, that is your inner fire. And that's why I think as long as we all connect to that, then we also are in love. So we are in love, with ourselves, and with how the big creator, God, Pachamama, Mother Earth, intended us to be. You know, she created a tree, an animal, food, and also all our purposes. These practices are so important to connect to that part of ourselves.
Mm-hmm. So yin yoga as a practice, as a tool to save the world, to save us.
Yeah.
Because what happens when we are constantly in that yang state, like go, 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 achieve more, do more, be better?
It's almost like this nervous system, and it gets you higher and higher and higher, but you're not connected to the earth and to the ground anymore. You're not connected to your body anymore. So you're connected to ideas and plans, but you're not here.
Also something that I find is so healing in yin yoga is that is so simple. We reduce it to a minimum. You made that example before, a 90-minute class, 5 poses, and it doesn't need more, mm-hmm. right? No. To be effective. Like already that is enough to bring things up, to let us become clear on things or to feel something. And I feel we live in such a complex world, and that even our yoga practices are allowed to be simple, you know, and to be effective. Mm-hmm. And I shared that with you before, like coming here, also for me personally right now, it really feels very healing to teach yin, because it's something I also need in my own life. And I mean, I'm teaching yin for many, many years, but to also focus on the yin and enjoying that myself as a teacher, as you know, like the practice is also healing for yourself, right? Because you're also listening when you are teaching the yin. And that is also a big lesson for me, that the practice doesn't need to be complex. It doesn't need to be, a ton of asanas and complex flows, or a big tantric kriya where you awaken your kundalini, you know, and it doesn't need to be that. Sometimes it's enough to lay over a bolster, you know?
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And about what you asked about simplicity in your life, it takes an effort for me too, because, you know, I love watching videos and I love just to be distracted sometimes, because life can be intense. That's why also people went to the theater or still go to theater to escape a bit from the reality and to come into another realm and to also find themselves there. Also by living here, I really feel that my life is simpler and I find myself more strong and more connected to nature, connected to myself. But even if you, like live in in Berlin and you go to this supermarket theme park every day, you can still decide to stop. Just take a deep in-breath and out-breath and just see what is happening. And to connect to source or connect to God. It's difficult to give it words, but this force that supports us. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and yin yoga is such a beautiful practice for that, an inward practice. I think any inward practice where you close your eyes and really connect to your body and really feel and withdraw this energy from the external senses. And I feel the challenge of this times we live in, as you also phrase it so beautifully, the value of these times is attention, is that it's so addictive and so seductive, because there are beautiful things. There's beautiful pictures, media, videos, things to buy in this world. But not to get lost in it, not to identify with it, not to need it to feel good. And I always witness that within myself whenever I go back to Germany and we live here on a farm. I'm wearing my muddy boots and try not to wear a jogging pants every day.
And she looks beautiful now. Thank you. Thank her makeup.
Yes, just for you. Just to hold it up a little bit, to not drown in the mud and give it in, I do oftentimes though, but for a podcast, something official, I try to look a little bit nice and, I notice when I go back to Germany and I'm at the playground with my child and I look at all the mothers looking so fancy and with their new, sneakers or a cool jacket or, and immediately my mind starts to go, I need to go shopping, how do I look like? Which is nothing, bad, to do some shopping, of course, we all like beautiful clothes, I think, as women, and to aesthetics and beautiful things. And, but yet I also feel, living in a city or very close to society, condensed, of course, the seduction is way higher, to constantly need to consume something. And I think if I would live there, I would constantly buy things, where we live right now is on the countryside. There's nothing much to buy. Luckily, we have Amazon, I think, because there's many things you cannot get here. And I just order, because it's just you cannot get it here. Yeah, so I think it's really important to be aware of these seductive energies we are surrounded by in these times of these amusement parks. I feel like, do you also feel that when you go to the airport from here, it starts the duty free and starts and the bright lights and commercials
and the music and
and it's a lot, it's a lot to take in. And I feel these practices of yin or meditation or anything that is slow and calm is really a breathing, healing moment for the mind and the senses, because it's a lot to digest in these days of what we take in.
Yeah. And it's also difficult. So yes, it's not easy. Last year I was on this meditation Vipassana. And not a traditional one from Goenka, but another method of Vipassana. And there we also had conscious walking and conscious eating. Oh, and it was so annoying, because you had to consciously lift your fork, mm-hmm. consciously put the food in your mouth. And it, and also the walking, conscious. I was I can just walk the 2 meters and then back. And it was only a few meters that you had to go back and forth. And it was so... It's annoying in the beginning, because it's nice to have the fast pace to get things done. I also love it. I sometimes really need to go also to Amsterdam to have a bit of shot of culture and buzz and creativity. That's why the city is amazing. But if you're constantly in it, You know, it's good to have your practices to also come into that yin state or in that feminine state or this mystical state to support you with. But it can be intense. It's really annoying. It's really like, but I can just lift before I can eat. Come on. So it was quite tough, but it gave me a lot. It gave me, actually, I got a lot of energy out of it. By slowing down, I got a lot of truthful, pure energy for myself and not from coffee, not from alcohol. I noticed when I was in theater school, I looked at my father. He passed away, unfortunately. I looked at him and he was getting up, drinking coffee, and then till round four, and then he was drinking beer till the end of the day. And I was like, then you're like,
wow.
And it's not unique. There's a lot of people do that. So it's not that I blame people that they drink coffee or alcohol, because we do what we live. We are alive. We're humans. And we do what we do. But if you do that every day, then you're the whole day away from your own energy. That you're renting or lending or loaning energy from something else. And cacao can also give you an energy boost, but it's still in connection with you, and it's not for the whole day. It's just a little uplift of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
It can even be an antidepressant, so it can really be something that can lift you in the longer run. So it's a long term. And coffee is not, it's like, look, it's quickie. Yeah.
So how can we, or how would you say, can we all cultivate more yin qualities in our everyday life?
I think that what I shared with the fork.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Please not.
Yeah. But it could be, you know, walking a bit
could
slower,
be the fork. Yeah.
Missing a train. Just to walk gently through. If you walk into Central Station, for instance, I don't know how everyone's lives is, you just have a slow pace, then you're already withdrawing yourself in a good way just to have a view like, wow, everyone is really fast, going nowhere. Like, why? It's so interesting. Because it's in the quality of how you move where life is. It's just, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going, oh, if I'm there, then I can rest. If I'm there, then I... It's always if then, it's now. So let's sit here together and do this podcast and breathe. And yeah, live your... Sometimes it's nice to just have a moment of consciously, oh, I'm here. Oh, I'm with my kids or my dog or my cats.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here with myself, with my own breath. I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
I'm alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that the practice is not there, you know. Of course, I do believe it's helpful to be alone and, you know, do some meditation in your practice. But I actually just had this this experience the last couple of days, because I've been alone with my child at home. And then he was sick, and after the weekend, and it was pouring all day. We couldn't go outside. We stayed in all day. I didn't have the last 4 days any moment for my own practice. And I was like really frustrated about it, you know, because I really need a moment to feel my own self, not 14 hours with another person, you know, no matter how much I love him, you know, like I think we all need that, like a moment to be with ourselves. So that can be really challenging, like being a mom, you know. And I was like, you know, inside of myself, I was like, okay, how can I like reframe that, you know, this moment for myself to like still have an experience that is nurturing me, you know, that it's not like, oh damn, I have no time for myself. I would like to be on the yoga mat, of course, but like, how can I still be in this present reality, which is not always what we favor, you know, and still be here now, you know, and like, I don't know. And so we did some painting and, you know, with watercolors, which I also enjoy, you know, like, and listening to some music and like, you know, I really try to like, rather than, okay, then is finally my practice, you know, which is still there, but like, can be what you just said, like, really say yes to the moment, and like embrace what is here. And, rather than, and really trying to be present, you know, which is really hard.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I want it for myself, but I also struggle with that.
Mm-hmm.
I also want the rain to go away, you know, mm-hmm. after if mm-hmm. it's like 3 weeks, they're like done with it. Yeah.
It's not 3 weeks. It's like 2 months. Like,
yeah.
But to.
But it's good what you say. It's good to have a moment alone to really feel yourself. If that's a possibility.
Yeah. I love that quote from the Dalai Lama. He said, "Spend every time some time alone."
Mm.
You know, that's every day. It's really important. But sometimes it's not possible when you have a little one to take care of. And that's a practice in itself, like how to take care of yourself when you're with someone else. But I love that this idea, because I think oftentimes in the spiritual world, we think, then I'm on my mat and then I'm practicing, you know, this like duality in our minds. Like, no, actually the practice is all the time.
It's life. Yeah. But it's that's why it's called a practice. That's what I love, is that you come to the mat to remind yourself, to connect with yourself, to step back into the world. So you practice to come back to that. And with that energy, you go back to life. You cannot, sometimes I was like, oh, I want to do, you can practice all day, especially when you come into or do your yoga courses, and you're like, oh, I can do meditation first, and then I do a 1.5 hour of this, then I have my cacao. So then your whole day is a ceremony, but that's not the way it's meant. It's meant to be a practice, just a reminder to step back into life. Life is the biggest
practice. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
What would you say to someone who feels that slowness and stillness is too much, is too uncomfortable? I cannot do it. Like, who's like, oh no, that, mm-hmm. you know, that really feels like it's really confronting. Like, how would you mm-hmm. tell them to like, do like first steps towards?
Like I said already, it could be only the breathing when you step into a supermarket. It could be putting your hand on your heart. Just a moment. Could be that you go for a walk, even if it's around the square where you live or the street. Could be that you touch a tree. Just do, and then be aware. What is happening? Why am I uncomfortable? And breathe, and breathe. Your breath is your guidance.
Mm.
Yeah. You don't need to do yoga, like I said.
Yeah.
It can be anything. But it's really supporting. Yes. Mm-hmm. But everyone has their journey in that.
Yeah. And some need to start with more movement.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, many of us do. Like, start with some kind of yang style.
Yeah. I started with aerial.
Yeah. Exactly. And I started with vinyasa, you know. And yeah, I think for many of us, that's true. And later they come to the yin and feel, now I can be still.
And I still have people in my class that come for years, years, years. And after, like, 7 years, finally, like
mm-hmm.
in Dutch, we would say it kwartje falls. So the quarter falls, like,
mm-hmm.
this is it. Okay. Because it's so deep in our system that we need to stretch, that we need to push ourselves, that we need to be better, that we need to improve. And that slowing down is not improvement, but it's going back. But it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Our society is really driven, that economical society is driving us. But it's not about economics. It's about the heart and the life. And so, yeah,
mm-hmm.
slowing down. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, both. I do both. It's good to do something really active and something really slowing down.
Yeah.
You need the balance.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point to point out here as well, you know, that's not life as well, like to lay on a bolster all day.
No.
You get nothing done.
No, exactly.
So that both qualities are actually important for life. Yeah, the yang and the yin. And it's not like to favor the other, but I think it's important to put yin more into the light of the awareness as we live in a very yang-driven world, which is clearly out of balance, which is where we as a society clearly favor the yang qualities of productivity and fastness and the doing. So that's why we talk about it.
Yeah,
to bring it into the awareness. If yin yoga and cacao had one invitation for our listeners today, what would you say would it be?
Open your heart. It's okay. You can soften. Trust. Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Lottie. Yeah. I think we could go on and on and into many, many details and branches. And thank you so much for your wisdom and your time and your presence and your warmth. So I really wish, for everyone want to experience such a healing and well-held space in yin yoga and cacao as you do. Not everyone can come to Portugal, of course, but I mean, there's many beautiful teachers out there, and maybe today you feel like you really want to try yin, or you want to try it again. If people come to Portugal, they can practice with you, and we will add your email address if you want to get in touch with Lottie. So we are in the Southwest Algarve, so in the area of Algezur. And also, Lottie, you're holding a retreat.
Yes,
you told me.
I'm holding a retreat. It's my first retreat.
Amazing.
Yeah, so cool. And it will be at the end of October. So that's a really beautiful season here. So it's not too hot, and already there's a bit of humidity coming. Mm-hmm. And I want it to be a yin yoga retreat. And we also have a sweat lodge. We will have a little vision quest. But a lot of yin, a lot of grounding and sinking, really, to sink into the body, sink into nature. It's a beautiful place close to Monchique.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I will set an Instagram account so people can also have a look.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And you can contact her also over her email address. We will put it into the show notes. Yeah. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Wanda,
for your time.
Thank you for what you're creating.
Yeah. You're welcome. Yeah. Thank you so much for being here on the podcast. I really enjoyed our conversation. And maybe we have another one another day. I think there'd be many topics we could talk about. So thank you so much, Lottie. And thank you to everyone who's listening today. If you love that podcast, please share it with your friends, anyone who you feel needs to hear this, or if you like to share it on social media. I'm really happy for and grateful for your support. Or if you would like to rate this podcast, thank you so much in advance. Thank you for being here, sharing your precious time with us, and we hear you very soon here. Bye-bye.